Have you ever felt a twinge of worry about AI taking over your job or diluting your creativity? Well, what if you could turn that fear into creative fuel? We've just published an amazing new ebook called The 4 Keys to Success in an AI World, and this is more than just a guide. It's a deep exploration into the human skills that AI can't touch, the skills that are essential for standing out and thriving no matter how much technology evolves. We're talking about real differentiators here like creativity, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and much more. Inside, you'll find actionable insights and strategies to develop these skills, whether you're a creative person, a business person, or just simply someone who loves personal development. This isn't a story about tech taking over. It's a story of human creativity thriving alongside AI. Picture this: AI as your creative co-pilot, not just as a tool, but a collaborator that enhances your unique human skills. The 4 Keys ebook will show you exactly how to do that and view AI in a new way that empowers you instead of overshadows you. Transform your creative potential today. Head over to unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. Use the number 4, K-E-Y-S. That's unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. And download your free copy.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
As creators, we're always on the move. Whether it's a live podcast event, a pop-up shop, or a workshop, we're constantly interacting with community, and that's where Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe comes in. Imagine this. You're at a live event, a listener loves your merch, or a participant wants to sign up for your course on the spot. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, you can accept their payments right there and then, right from your iPhone, so there's no extra hardware or no delays. Total game changer. It's not just for creators. Any business owner can do this. It's about making transactions smoother and much more personal, growing your business in your way. We've been using Stripe for our products and courses for a long time, and now, with Tap to Pay on iPhone, you can take your business to the next level too. So visit stripe.com/tapiphone to learn more. Remember, folks, with Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, your business is always at your fingertips.
If you just have a fleeting, you know, glimpse of what your message is, it's very, very hard to stay true to, because you haven't absorbed it, you haven't owned it, you haven't adopted it into your life. So when people really understand their message, in other words, their why are they on this planet? Why are they here? And when they really start to own that and do the work to really strip that out. And I love that process of helping people see something they almost can't see because it's almost too close to them. When they start to understand it and accept it, then they become, I wouldn't say rigid, because rigid sounds kind of almost almost jarring, closed, controlled. They become absolute in their pursuit of that message.
I'm Srini Rao, and this is the Unmistakable Creative Podcast, where you get a window into the stories and insights of the most innovative and creative minds who've started movements, built thriving businesses, written best-selling books, and created insanely interesting art. For more, check out our 500-episode archive at unmistakablecreative.com. Make sure you stick around until the end of the episode to learn how you can download the 10 questions you need to make this the most prosperous year of your life, courtesy of today's guest, Philip McKernan. Today's episode is sponsored by our friends at HostGator, your one-stop shop for web hosting needs. It's the beginning of the year, and you might have a lot of ideas for new projects on your plate, and one of the best first steps is setting up a website and a domain name. HostGator gives you 24/7 live support via chat, phone, and email, and they even have an easy-to-use website builder. But let's say you want to build your own website. They even provide a one-click WordPress install. They can even help with your marketing if you need it. And for Unmistakable Creative listeners, they're offering a 30% discount on all their hosting packages. So visit hostgator.com/creative and use the promo code creative. Now, let's get to the show. Philip, welcome to the Unmistakable Creative. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Great to be back. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it is really, really my pleasure to have you back here. We had such a profound and beautiful conversation the last time you were here. And you, given that it's a new year and we probably have some new listeners, just for their sake and to catch people up, can you give us sort of a quick Reader's Digest version of your work, who you are, and what you're up to in the world today?
Yeah, I suppose it's the ongoing joke within my community, and if you can figure out what McKernan actually does, will you let him know? It's kind of hard to wrap it up because it's very personalized. But in essence, I really support people in a coaching, mentoring, and retreat capacity to really connect with what they love, to reconnect or connect for the first time to what they love. And I really believe on a basic level that happiness is a byproduct of something else. In fact, we should drop chasing happiness. And I think if we bring more meaning into our lives and the work that we do, the relationship to ourselves and the relationship to other people, and we keep moving forward and aligning ourselves and turning that dial to bring more meaning into those areas, the byproduct of all of that is going to be that we're just going to be happier, more fulfilled, feeling successful with our own skin, and not allowing our success to be defined by what society says it is or not, just knowing it and feeling it internally. And that's essentially what I do, and really helping people work on the challenges that they're aware of and really work on the challenges that they can't even see. And that's, I think, where I bring the most value.
Okay. So, like I said, I'm a huge fan of your work, only because it's so deep and so meaningful. I mean, for everybody listening, if you haven't heard the first conversation that Philip and I had about the pillars of a meaningful life, we'll be sure to link it up in the show notes. But this time, what prompted this conversation was you and I speaking, and also something you said in our last conversation about money and wealth, which was that we could do an entire podcast just about money and what a fascinating conversation that is. But before we do that and start to dig deeper into that, you mentioned one thing I think that I want to talk about, which I feel is probably very much related to the money conversation, and that is connecting with whatever it is that we love and how people start to find that in their lives. Like, what is the process of self-discovery for connecting with what we love look like?
Well, I think one of the challenges today is that people are holding on to the things they're already doing and telling themselves that they already love them. So if I had a dollar bill for speaking of money, for everybody that told me that, they're in a great place, they're fantastic and everything's wonderful in their lives, to find out, after the fact that maybe it's not, and maybe that they're not addressing situations within their relationship with themselves, within the relationship at home, within the relationship with their children, or maybe in alignment in terms of the business they run or the work that they do. So people are often walking around telling themselves that they are already connected to what they love. So for example, I had a lady one day saying, I just out of the blue, I randomly said to her, I said, how's your relationship with your children? She said, fantastic. And I said, how do you know? And she goes, what do you mean? They're my kids. Of course I know. And then she's getting pissed off with me. And I said, just relax with the anger and just let's sit with the conversation, because it could be very powerful and it may not be. I said, do you absolutely feel and believe that? are you using that as a benchmark from what you witness in society and what you witness from your neighbors across the road? Because, and what we've historically had in our life with in terms of relationships. As it turns out, 25 minutes, 30 minutes later, she turns around and she goes, you know what? My relationship's not that great with my kids, is it? Now, there's a sadness and a reality to that that is saddening. However, now she can do something about it. And she went off and did something about it. And now she has a relationship that, wait for it, ironically, like surprise, surprise, that she never believed was possible. And that's the problem is, first of all, identifying that maybe we're not aligned to doing what we're doing, that maybe we don't love the work that we do, and to face reality today and create the emotional, mental, and perhaps physical space to explore what it is we do love. But there's no space today if we're holding on and attached to all the things that we say and we think intellectually that we already love. There's no space.
So how do you let go of those attachments and create that space?
Sometimes it's unfortunately a wake-up call. It's a reality check that hits you straight in the face. For example, I've met personally a number of people who've had a wake-up call, like a moment in their life where something happened to them. And unfortunately, the reality is something, sometimes it's a passing of a friend or a colleague or a family member. Sometimes it's them hitting a wall in terms of their own health, their own emotional state, their own mental state. And what ends up happening is in a wake-up call, I believe, and I'm sure there's studies out there to go against what I believe, but here's what I fundamentally believe in my core, is that when somebody has a wake-up call, they have two options. One is they just go back to what they were doing before and the claim ignorance or whatever. Or two is they look at this and they see this as the opportunity to make a change. They don't go out and radically change who they are. They don't become somebody else. What my findings show me is they become more of who they are. In other words, on a very basic level, they go back, look at their lives, and just simply give themselves permission to do the things they've always wanted to do. That's all they do in a wake-up call. And the wake-up call represents a significant, dramatic jarring of your system. I'm not asking people to wait for that. What I'm asking for people is to sometimes face reality. Further onto reality is the pain that people have to sometimes face in order to let go. Great if we can let go in an invitational way, that we realize we're holding on to things that don't serve us. I'm holding on to the work I do, but I really know in my heart and soul it's not for me. I'm holding on to a relationship that I really know in my heart and soul is dysfunctional, doesn't really serve me or the person that I'm with. I'm holding on to the place that I live in, yet I know in my heart and soul I need to live beside the water. I need to live in the mountains. I need to live beside whatever it is. Energetically, I'm not in the right place. But we sometimes need to face the reality and in turn the pain in order to move the goalpost. And that's an unfortunate reality in humanity, in the world today with humans.
So when we experience these wake-up calls, especially in the form of loss, like the end of a relationship, a business partnership falling apart, the death of somebody, our sort of immediate gut-level reaction, I think, at least in my own experience, is to be very consumed by grief. And, you've talked a lot about the pain. How do we not become consumed by the pain of these things?
Well, I think it's about prevention. So rather than dealing with the grief, which I appreciate, and in the context of say a business partnership or losing a business. I mean, grief. I see people who suffer tremendous grief because they've lost an element of who they are. Their identity has been so tied up. Now, I'm not talking about the death of a family member and so on. Actually, even as I say that, so let me break this into two things. Let's just say a person dies close to you. Now, I'm not an expert in this area of grief and so on and so forth, but I do believe that I speak enough to enough people that have gone through it or going through it to kind of help them. I think sometimes you just need to give yourself the space. There's a lot of people who move through way too fast through grief. They don't stop and sit in the pain. They don't stop and sit in the shit. They don't stop and experience. We're so afraid today to feel. We're so afraid to feel because we don't like it, because when we feel, we think we're out of control. But we're living an illusion that we think we can control in the first place. So we lock ourselves in this amazing cage, this cocoon, this jail cell called our minds. And we are so limited. We're walking around and we're dead from the neck down. So I think sometimes for me personally, somebody I love to pieces died recently. excuse me. And I sat with the with the emotion. I sat with the remembering of them, the pain of it, and I took the time to remember the beautiful moments that this man, you know, gave me in my life. These little moments here and there, and then I allowed that to happen. I didn't rush away from it. I didn't move too fast beyond it. And then I said, okay, now what can I do to honor this man? What can I do to impact the world or impact a human being and use in a very respectful way their memory, their spirit, their passing, who they were, as a way to inspire and motivate yourself to do something better, almost in their name. So face something that scares the shit out of you and say, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. So on a passing, that's what I do. That's how I process. That's how I handle. The death of a business partner or an external intimate relationship and things like that, one of the things I believe is that what we should do is look at why the person has had such an effect on us, why we have given so much of our identity to a business partnership, or even an intimate relationship. Because I don't believe that we should give so much of ourselves to that type of relationship. I believe that we don't need their love and support to validate who we are. There's a balance between being loved and allowing yourself to be loved by an external partner, or having fun and be successful in a business relationship. But also, when we give too much away, it means we're not necessarily comfortable with our own skin, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I you know, as I'm hearing you say that, especially this piece about identity and the dissolution of you know, relationships, you know, outside of death of people that we love, but, you know, when it comes to people who hurt us or people we feel betrayed by, how do you separate your identity from those things and those people and at the same time honor the experience that they were in your life or the presence that they had in your life after they're gone?
Well, I think the starting point from there is, why do you? Why do you give so much of yourself? Why have you given so much of your identity to your business, for example? I see that a lot in business today. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and one of the challenges is they're too enmeshed in what they do. And then people think that when you help them kind of detach from that, you think that they're going to give up on the dream and the aspiration and the drive they have. Actually, it's quite the opposite. And when I work with athletes and Olympic athletes and people in at a high level, I also ask them to separate from the outcome of winning a gold medal, because they're too attached. And by separating the two, it actually gets you to be less attached to the outcome, and you move into a place of fluency and flow, which is the goal for most athletes, and really should be the thing that we desire as individuals as well. Identity is the, I believe, the identity crisis the world is facing today is the greatest conversation in the world that people are not having. Period. It's the greatest conversation the world is not having today. And we see it with the US military, where they take off their uniforms, they don't know who they are, and they lead to suicide, alcohol abuse, drugs, depression, mental disorder, all sorts of things. The mother who waves goodbye to their children at the door when they're going to college turns, catches herself in the mirror and looks at herself. And by the way, who are you? And then she catches the eye of her husband who's sitting across the kitchen table and say, I recognize your face. I hear your voice. I know you live here, but who are you as well, by the way? The business person who gives up their business, loses their business, sells their business, they're lost. The person that retires, that hasn't taken the time to understand who they are on this planet, independent of the attachments they have, is completely lost, and spirals downwards in terms of mentally and often physically, because they don't have a purpose in the world. The problem is that if you backtrack way back, they've given too much of their identity to these individual units, and they haven't carved out the space to hold on to the beautiful gift that they have, their story, their soul, and their individuality.
Hmm. So, you know, when I hear you say that, I realize that when we have positive outcomes, it's very easy to intertwine our identity with them as well as negative ones. What is the process of disconnecting your identity from all of these things, accolades, achievements, your business, the things that you do and the things that you're known for in the world? I mean, what does that look like when you start to disconnect the identity from the experiences and the outcomes of your life? And how do people do that? And then, of course, do you think that some people are inherently capable of doing such things and others are not?
Wow. Okay. Well, let's just throw
it. You should be used to this by now.
Let's just throw a little easy one in here. Oh, yeah. My goodness. I think the best thing I can do right now is just make this slightly personal if I can. And people tell me that, you know, what I'm doing is incredible or it's successful or whatever. And my clients give me, I believe personally, way too much credence for the work that they do and the improvements in their life. Like Phil McKernan improved my business. Phil McKernan improved my life. Phil McKernan didn't do that. You came to me, you opened up, you stepped into the work, you became vulnerable, you became courageous. You took what the lessons and the learnings and the philosophy and you implemented in your own life. So you did the work. So let's be clear on that. For me personally, number one is I never apply for awards. I never put my name forward for Entrepreneur of the Year or any of that. I'm not just suggesting and judging people that do. I don't go looking for accolades and awards to validate who I am. I used to do that. I used to think that that's what I needed. I don't go to the press. I don't put press releases out. I don't actively look for those things to validate who I am. Now, we can argue there's a business element to that as well, but I just choose not to do that. The biggest thing for me, and I can only speak for myself here personally, is that I can't remember the day it happened. I can't remember the moment it happened. And I think it was in years in motion. And somewhere along the line, I stopped making this journey about Philip McKernan. There is an ego there for sure. And anyone who thinks they don't have an ego is absolutely lying to themselves and the rest of the world. To know that you have an ego actually equips you, because then you go into any situation with awareness as opposed to blindness. But I've stopped making this journey about me, and I my work is evolving where it's actually all about the individual. It's all about the clients. It's all about how I can empower the people to empower themselves and in turn other people. And I've stopped making this journey about Philip McKernan. So when I face, and I face them every day, every week, a situation where I'm really scared and I'm out of my league or I'm out of my comfort zone or whatever you want to call it, I don't think about myself too much. I don't say, oh God, I don't know if I'll fail at this. I don't know if anyone's going to read my book or watch my documentary or whatever other thing I'm up to. I go, hang on, what if one person does? What could that one person do with this information? What could that unlock within one individual? And the other thing I do is I have a counter to this, going back maybe to ego, maybe to validation, maybe to remind myself. I also remind myself by having a little file of emails and cards that I get from people whose lives have been touched through the gateway of the work that I do. And I remind myself that I'm actually doing this for other people. And that gives me unbelievable resilience and strength and courage to move forward.
So I do something very similar. And it's funny because I've made a habit of not reading reviews of books because I often will find negative ones. And today for the first time, I logged into iTunes and I saw a 2-star review of the show that somebody just didn't like it. And it really, honestly, it kind of just messed up my entire day. It kind of threw off everything for me. And I wonder, in your own work, in your experience, do you deal with critics? Do you deal with people who challenge you like that? And how do you navigate those situations?
Well, first of all, I apologize. I feel guilty now. I should have given you 3 stars. after these questions, I'm going to give you 1 because you're putting me on the spot. I don't know if your listeners know, but like you certainly don't give me questions in advance. So it's actually, it's kind of cool, but it's challenging in its own right. But going back to your question, you know, I can't tell you the judgment I've had, and it's come from the sources that, you know, you'd least almost expect them. And I love my family. I love my mom and I love my dad, but I remember being met with blank faces. And it's, criticism doesn't necessarily always come from the words that are said. It often comes from the words that are not said. So I remember announcing to the world at home in Ireland and our beautiful, stunning little country that I missed desperately. But I'm here for a reason in North America. And I remember announcing that I'm going to go to, you know, North America and I'm going to pursue a dream and I'm going to try and speak and I'm going to try and move people and I'm going to try and whatever. And I remember being met with, and this is not a bad thing in my family or friends or whatever, but I remember being met with not the, you know, that's a disastrous idea, but I remember being met with the, oh, that's interesting. You know, that, in other words, you're absolutely off your head. So I've had all sorts of criticism, a lot of judgment, primarily from people that have never done my work. A lot of people judge me and who I am and what I represent, but they've absolutely no idea what I actually do because they've never stepped into my work. And people, you know, when I put a book out there, when I do a speech, it goes on YouTube, for example, and you have people saying, you know, what an asshole, what a wanker, full of shit. He's just trying to screw people. He's no idea what he's talking about. He's just a sob story. He's whatever. And, you know, I think what I've realized is also through the evolution of my work in the context of, say, coaching and stuff like that, somebody says, what happens if you deal with somebody who just doesn't want to move or see something? I used to expel so much energy on trying to get that one individual to see something that they did not want to see, because they are so used to being a victim that they don't even know it, but they're so used to being a victim that that's where they want to stay. And now, and it might sound, you know, it might come across as very little compassion and a ruthlessness, which actually is not the case, believe it or not, is now if somebody really doesn't want to see it, I go, listen, I appreciate you being here. We're not at that place right now. Could I just ask you to step aside? Because you know what? There's 25 people just behind you with their hands up who really want to grow and who really want to move and let go of the patterns and the behaviors and the things that they hold and the blocks and the insecurities that they hold, because they want to grow their businesses and themselves. So if you want to come back to the table, let's come back. So what I do is I look beyond the 2-star review and I go, I can't allow myself to be, you know, determined by one person's review, whether it's real or whether it's just a reaction to something you said in an interview and they're just reacting to something. And I find often when you stir somebody's soul, like I had a man literally walk out of an event one day. It doesn't matter what the event was, but he walked out of the event and we gave out a CD and stuff, and he took the CD, broke it in parts, stood on it, ranted and raved in front of this group of people who were all at the same event and they all had a completely different perspective. And somebody offered him, when he wasn't ready for it, he said, okay, maybe Philip McKernan is an asshole. Maybe the event was crap. Maybe it was a waste of time. But is there any part of the event, the conversation, maybe one of the questions that Philip posed, that just stirred something in you, that annoyed you, that just brought something up, that maybe it's not about the event, it's more about you? It's more about you. So that's kind of what I do. I look beyond the 2-star and I go, who are the people that are willing? And if I read a 2-star, I go straight to the 5-star. And it's not that I'm trying to ignore the feedback. I'm just reminding myself that you cannot please everybody. And when you do, it's like, I believe in life. If you want to be prosperous and you want to grow, that most people want to grow in the world. If you ask anybody, do you want to grow and be happier? Absolutely. But what else do you want? Well, I want my family to love me as well. In other words, I want to grow, but I want my family to love me. How many of us have families that want us to grow? Hey, Serena, Philip, I want you to be happy. Now, just don't change. I don't believe you can be fulfilled and happy and prosperous in this world to the level that you need to be on a very deep, authentic, aligned way and keep everybody happy at the same time. And when that comes to your family, who we so desperately want approval from, that's when it becomes very precarious and challenging. And we start to dilute our message because we don't want our mom to alienate us. We dilute what we believe because we don't want our dad to judge us. We dilute what we're about to say in a podcast interview or in a book because we don't want our family to judge who we are as an individual. And the minute you do that, you basically go into this holding pattern of not speaking your truth, trying to keep everybody happy, and you don't do it anyway. It comes back and bites you in the ass.
So on that note, we want to ask you about something that we'd started talking about when we attempted to record this conversation the first time, which was this idea of the courage to stay true to your message and how you do that, how it manifests in your work, and you know, what is the impact of something like that on your life when you do?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose first and foremost, you know, to understand what your message is, and when you get in touch with your message, if you just have a fleeting, you know, glimpse of what your message is, it's very, very hard to stay true to, because you haven't absorbed it, you haven't owned it, you haven't adopted it into your life. So when people really understand their message, in other words, their why are they on this planet? Why are they here? And when they really start to own that and do the work to really strip that out. And I love that process of helping people see something they almost can't see because it's almost too close to them. When they start to understand it and accept it, then they become, I wouldn't say rigid, because rigid sounds kind of almost almost jarring, closed, controlled. They become absolute in their pursuit of that message. So, for example, I met a lady yesterday who is in television. She's a producer, and she has got in touch with, you know, her message, not entirely her message, but she's really got in touch with what doesn't work for her. And she just can't produce TV shows anymore that don't have a positive impact in the world. And the her reality is that most of these shows that are being produced today, these reality TVs, don't really positively impact the world on a fundamental level. So she's getting in touch with what she knows isn't working for her as she starts to craft what her message is. The problem is that her accountant is saying you need money. So she's periodically taking these projects on that aren't true to her heart. And what I said to her yesterday was that what you want from this world is still not clear. And when that becomes clear, two things are going to happen. One is you're going to be ruthless in the pursuit of that. You're going to say no to things, which is going to be a test from the universe, I believe. And two is opportunities and possibilities, more importantly, of ways in which to move into that space are going to appear that ordinarily didn't appear. And that's what happens. So to me, the biggest point here is not how do you stay true to your message, is how true is your message? Mm-hmm. That's the question we need to ask. How true is your message to who you are? And that is the work that I believe most people don't do, or they don't do enough of.
Okay. So one last question, and then I want to shift gears a little bit. You mentioned that often we're unaware of a lot of the things that are challenging us. So two questions around that. Why are we unaware, and how do we shed awareness on those things?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
As creators, we're always on the move. Whether it's a live podcast event, a pop-up shop, or a workshop, we're constantly interacting with community, and that's where Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe comes in. Imagine this. You're at a live event, a listener loves your merch, or a participant wants to sign up for your course on the spot. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, you can accept their payments right there and then, right from your iPhone, so there's no extra hardware or no delays. Total game changer. It's not just for creators. Any business owner can do this. It's about making transactions smoother and much more personal, growing your business in your way. We've been using Stripe for our products and courses for a long time, and now, with Tap to Pay on iPhone, you can take your business to the next level too. So visit stripe.com/tapiphone to learn more. Remember, folks, with Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, your business is always at your fingertips.
I think we're unawareness is sometimes, you know, even though that's something I would say, and I think to some extent there's truth to that, I think actually we are aware, we just don't want to see it. So for example, when it comes to clarity and people, what people want to do and what they want to do when they grow up, what their purpose is, you know, what makes them happy and everything else. I mean, I said to a girl 2 days ago who's on the phone considering stepping into my work, and I said, you already know what you want to do. And you and I both know that. And she starts laughing. She does know what it is. It just scares the shit out of her. And for various different reasons, I'm unaware because I don't know her story yet. But we're unaware because sometimes we genuinely have not been put in an environment where we've had to tell a story or we've had to answer a specific question that will unlock an understanding within ourselves that previously has hidden from us. But the other side of it that I see in people is that they are aware, but they don't want to be aware of it. And I said this to a group recently, that people will pay me thousands of dollars, travel thousands of miles, spend thousands of hours, well, not I say thousands of hours, but lots of hours with me for the clarity that they don't actually want, which is so bizarre to say such a thing. But people sometimes don't want their truth. They want it, but they don't. And because what the truth represents is often a subtle or significant change in their lives to honor that truth and to pursue that truth. And the change and the fear of the change is so insurmountable for people. But unfortunately, and my heart goes out to people who are so limited in that regard, because the fear they face in advance of making a subtle or significant shift is nothing compared to the overwhelming result, positive result of making that shift on the other side. But they can't see that. They can't see that. So there's just a couple of observations that I see on a daily basis in the context of the work that I do.
There's more of my conversation with Philip after this short message from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at HostGator. Buying a domain and setting up a basic website is a great first step to getting started with any creative project, whether you want to start a blog, write a book, or create a website for your portfolio. HostGator provides 24/7 live support via chat, phone, and email, and they even have an easy-to-use website builder. And if you're looking to build your own website, they even provide one-click WordPress installs. They can also help with your marketing if you need it. And for Unmistakable Creative listeners, they're offering a 30% discount on all their hosting packages. So make sure you visit hostgator.com/creative and use the promo code creative to get 30% off. Our other sponsor is TrueCar. There are probably a lot of different things you want to do with your life this year. And let's be honest, buying a car is kind of a pain. You go from website to website, dealer to dealer, and by the time you get home, you're so sick of looking around that you just want it to be over with. And here's a little psychology lesson to go with this. All this zaps your willpower because you've spent your day making a bunch of useless decisions when it could have been spent on something meaningful. TrueCar shows you what others in your area have paid for a car. It's total transparency that enables you to determine the fair price for the vehicle you want to buy. So not only can you get a good deal, you'll no longer have to spend so much time in the car buying process. Think about all the steps, the pricing, going from dealership to dealership, as I mentioned. And that means you can finally write the book you've been wanting to write, learn that language you want to learn, or even learn to cook. With TrueCar, you can see what others pay. TrueCar, never overpay. Now, back to my conversation with Philip. Well, let's do this. Let's shift gears and start talking about...
Can I share one little story?
Yes, because absolutely.
If you don't mind, because yeah, before we move away from this, yes. And I shared the story the other day when we kind of had internet issues and everything else. And I'll give you an example of how, and this is just one example, and... how sometimes we have a dream within us that we don't want to see and we bury it. And the story I used to illustrate this is a real story about a man who came to a workshop with me. He engaged with me for a kind of an ongoing 12-month program. And our first weekend, he made it very clear that he was there to build his investment portfolio and his investment business. And he was coming to me to help him strategize and get clear on what this looked like and the implementation of it so he could succeed. And before we jump on, to achieving that, a lot of business coaches will say, you want to get your business to the next level. Great. My first question is, well, forget about whether you want to bring it to the next level. Why are you in it? And making sure that it's aligned, because once you do that hard work at the beginning, the heavy lifting. Everything comes from a very congruent place as you move forward in the future. And it just means that you don't look back with regrets in 10 or 20 years from now. And I said to this guy, I said, is there anything else in your life? Anything else that you do as a hobby or any fun things? Anything else you'd like to do? And he was kind of getting irritated and he was getting frustrated because he wanted to roll up his sleeves, dive into this real estate and investment portfolio thing that he had planned. And he eventually said, you know, I do a little bit of writing. And my reaction was very intentional. I said, oh, you're a writer. To which his response was, no, I'm not. And, you know, I don't know when the email or the text went out that you can only be a musician if you get paid. You can only be a writer if you have signed a contract with Penguin and got an advance. That's just not reality. And I said, oh, you're right. And he goes, no, I'm not. And I said, so tell me a bit about writing. At which point he leans forward in his table and says, Philip, I just want to be clear about something. I'm here to work in my business. Okay. I'm here to work in my business. I don't want to talk about writing. So can we move away from it, please? And I leaned forward to him and I said, I appreciate the feedback. Thank you for that. Just so you're clear, we're not talking about anything other than writing until I'm clear that it is not the thing that you need to be doing in a small capacity as a hobby or professionally. Because my job is not to allow you to come to my room to pay me to tell you what you want to hear. My job is to stir you to go after your truth in a way that no one else has the courage, or maybe other people do, but some other people don't have the courage to go after, even by running the risk of you hating my guts for a day or month or year or maybe for life. And out of beyond that conversation, just maybe 20 minutes later, with absolute annoyance in his eyes, he said, okay, Philip, fuck this. He said, you know what? Okay, let's just get this out. All I've ever wanted to do since I was a kid is travel the world and write books. Are you happy now? Are you happy? Can we move on? And at which I said, we're not moving anywhere, my friend, because we need to explore this. And the dream he had and the perspective he had is that he had a dream of writing books, but he felt that he needed to go and build a multi-million dollar business to give himself the financial freedom to then consider his dream and his aspiration. My belief is we don't have to build an empire in order to fulfill a dream. We can do it in tandem, or we can forget about the empire, do the dream, and the dream could become an empire. What does he do today? He travels the world and writes books. That's all he does. Is his life perfect? I am absolutely guaranteed it's not. But that's what he does professionally. And he has contracts coming in. He's writing his own books. He ghostwrites, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that is a man that could have spent 10 or 15 years chasing something that he didn't want in his soul, because he chased what he thought intellectually he wanted, but he didn't take the time until that day to find out what he intuitively at a soul level needed in this world.
Wow. So let's get into this conversation about money and prosperity. Remember last time you said, you know, it's just a fascinating conversation to look at people's relationship to this and how they react. And you've had a really interesting sort of front row seat to people at all income levels who come to do your work, which is really what drove this conversation. And so I want to talk about how we start to think about this as we start approaching a new year and how we make this one of the most prosperous years of our lives. But before we get there, I want to ask about one thing that I remember you said very distinctly in our last conversation, was that you didn't set goals, which I thought was really bizarre. So let's start there.
Yeah. And the minute you say that, many listeners you have, and it doesn't really matter right now, but I mean, you've just 25 people have just either crashed their cars and another 50 people have put the phone down or turned off the internet, and 25 people have gone to give this one-star review, because the idea of not setting goals is absolutely ludicrous in the world that we live in today. Mm-hmm. But here's I don't know if it's a fresh approach, a different approach, but like here's my challenge, here's my question, here's my invitation to you. And I say not just you, but I mean the listeners, is that if you're an avid goal setter, can you just, like, what would it be like just to let go of changes, not setting goals for 2016, not going after something, and maybe providing and creating an environment where you allow things to come to you? Do you want to be, let's just say you're a business owner. Let's just say you run an advertising agency, you run a cake shop, you run a podcast, whatever you do professionally. Do you want people to be drawn to your message? And I'm not talking about you sitting back and doing nothing as the law of attraction. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you want people to be drawn to your message through word of mouth, through, you know, kind of just, you know, talking to people and hearing and feeling and listening to it? Do you want them to be drawn, or do you want to pull them in aggressively? Do you want that push sale, or do you want that pull sale? And it's the same principle. I think that there's a fluency available to us as humans that should not be solely owned by athletes, that we can create an environment whereby we don't feel like we're constantly chasing, we're constantly running, we're constantly trying to achieve, and we're constantly setting goals that we think will make us happy. And we get to the top of the mountain, we look around and go, Jesus, I thought it would feel better. I thought it would be different. I thought I'd be happier. And before we know it, we're running to the next mountain to go, hang on, that's the problem. I climbed the wrong mountain. And we go again and again and again. And this pattern just keeps evolving. I'm not saying goal setting is completely disastrous. That's not what I'm saying. I just think how we've approached it historically is adding to the dysfunctionality, the disconnection, the dissatisfaction of a lot of human beings today. And the problem is that many people are great at achieving goals. That's part of the issue. But they're setting goals from an intellectual place based on what society thinks they should do, their parents think they should do, or they themselves think they should do, or they model their lives on an entrepreneur they read about in Fortune 500 or in Inc. magazine, and they don't know that entrepreneur, but they model themselves in an entrepreneur that they've never met personally, and they idolize these people, and through their influence, they set another additional set of goals. And before you know it, we've lots of goals, and unfortunately, some of us are achieving them. And then we look in the mirror one day, and unfortunately, this hits us 10 or 20 or 30 years down the line, where we realize, holy shit, this isn't, I thought I'd be in a better place. Yeah, I've got money. Yeah, I've got material items. Yeah, I've got, but I don't have fulfillment. I'm successful, but I'm not satisfied.
So
what I've done, I've actually prepared for the first time ever. I'm not a big preparation guy as such. I've actually prepared a set of questions that I want to give you, and maybe I'll post for your listeners, questions to consider about 2015, a kind of a year in review. And it's not like, what was the best thing in my year? And I don't mean to be disrespectful. What am I so grateful for? I'm talking about deeper questions, I don't mean to, because that sounds judgmental, but questions that are going to stir you. And I'll just share one or two of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I may feel successful, but do I feel satisfied? I may well be successful. Do I feel satisfied? What am I tired of? Am I using my gift or my talent? Am I really as happy as I pretend to be on Facebook every single day? And there's a list of 10 questions that I've prepared for people to reflect on in the context of looking back over 2015, forgetting about 2016 for a moment. And then moving into 2016, what do I need to let go of? What space do I need to create? Forget about goals. What's the clarity that I don't want to see that's right in front of me? Who am I seeking validation from? Most of us are, and it's not, are you seeking validation from somebody? It's, who are you seeking validation from? And it's asking you to consider these things so you're deeply aware that you are still to this day trying to seek validation from your father. And therefore, every goal you set is in line with what you believe your father wants from you, whether he's alive or dead. So then we go through 2016, we achieve two or three different things, we turn to our father, and he still doesn't give us the 4 words, 3 words, 10 words that we desperately want to hear, which is something like, I love you for who you are, not who I want you to be. I'm proud of you. I love you unconditionally. And the next minute, 10 years pass by, and we realize, holy fuck, I've been living somebody else's life for the last 10 years.
Man. Okay. So let's talk about money and why this is such an emotionally charged subject for so many people. And what is the difference between the people that you have seen who are both happy, wealthy, and fulfilled, and the ones who seem to be sort of struggling? I mean, I remember you talked about the next level thing as sort of sarcastically, you know, being something you joke about with people. But I mean, what is that difference? Like, why is this such a complicated issue?
It's not a complicated issue. Hmm. It's actually not a complicated issue, but we've made it complicated. And the reason we do that is it's convenient, because it's harder to move through a complicated situation because it's complicated, but it's not complicated. It's so bloody easy. The most successful people in the world, in my definition of success, and how you determine success, in my personal opinion, in my deeply humble opinion, is you look at someone's eyes. You look through someone's eyes, and that is the only indicator in the world that you need. If you are too busy to understand and to give the respect to the intuitive feeling and ability we have to master and understand what is going on within our own lives and other people's lives, when you look at somebody's eyes, that's all you need to see. I came back from India recently on a trip to India, and one of the things I did was I brought a camera crew, and we interviewed people. We did a social experiment where we brought people on this trip to expose them to giving, and we followed how it impacted them. But one of the things I did there is I interviewed project leaders of NGOs and organizations and volunteers and people who set them up and founders. And I said, okay, let's be selfish here for a moment. Let's ask the question that you don't ever get asked, because is okay, what's in it for you? What do you get from this? What do you get from looking after all these beautiful orphan kids? What do you get from looking after these abandoned seniors? What do you get from looking after these, mentally challenged, boys and girls? I mean, what do you get from that? Tell us about what the upside of this is, whether that's your intent and that's why you do it or not. That's not what I'm intending, but what do you get? And without fail, every one of them said pretty much, it was like we set it up. They said, I can sleep at night, as they looked at me with these eyes that you would melt into, not because they were brown and sexy or because they had this Indian look or, exotic look or whatever other terminology you might use, is because their eyes lit up in a different way. They opened up in a different way. They said, I have peace of mind. I have peace of mind, which to me is the indicator of how congruent and happy your life is. If you want to take out your bank balance, if you want to look at the number of fans you have on Facebook, if you want to show me the number of cars that you own, if you want to tell me how many shares you own in Facebook or any other organization, and that's your measure of success, good luck. But I want you to turn around from the whiteboard and I want to see your eyes, because that will tell me everything I need to know. And if you've got the courage to share with me and be open and be vulnerable and honest, can you sleep at night? Do you have peace of mind? There's two ways to create peace of mind. One is leave it alone. Leave it alone. Get out of it. And the second one is to align yourself to deep, meaningful work that you almost can't believe is even available to you. And don't write yourself off. The other one is to not settle for what you think is a great relationship at home. Do you want to settle for a great relationship, or do you want to go out and see if it can be greater? Can you run the risk of working on yourself to find out that maybe my self-worth, maybe my self-confidence, maybe my ability to see the world in a particular way needs to be shifted? Because I don't want to sit around and assume anything. So all of these people in India had these measures that we don't take into consideration in Western society historically, but I think it's changing. And that to me is the measure of success. That to me is prosperity. That to me is fulfillment. And stop telling me how happy you are and show me how happy you are.
That was amazing. You kind of have me at a loss for words.
I'm just so like I'm tearing up here right now, and it's not because I'm sad. I am. There's so many people walking the earth today that are just settling for this life that they don't need to do. And they keep saying things like, oh, but that's easy for you, or that's easy for, Kevin Bacon or whatever. I don't know where the hell Kevin Bacon came from. That's easy for Richard Branson, or that's easy for whoever, because they're successful. They've got money, whatever. All of these people started with nothing, or they started with tough times or tough breaks. And the problem is that we at the core, I believe that, and I have a saying that I think is the truest thing that's ever come out of my mouth. And it's, we give ourselves what we feel we deserve. And I think we have a self-worth issue here, which leads to identity crisis, which leads to people settling, which leads to people giving up on their dreams and aspirations, which doesn't even lead people to give up on them. It leads people not to even start dreaming and reimagining how their life could be. People don't even imagine anymore. They're not even dreaming about what's possible. They're not even running the risk of trying to create something on a whiteboard or on a canvas that doesn't exist, because they're afraid that it might manifest itself, or they don't believe they're good enough to even try. And that doesn't need to happen in the world that we live in today.
So one last question before we wrap things up. What is the relationship between self-worth and prosperity, and how do we change it?
We've linked our self-worth in many ways to the prosperity that we have in our lives, or the lack of prosperity we have in our lives. And prosperity, we have linked to money and materialistic items and success in business and external recognition, which is a huge one. That's one of the biggest ones. And people keep saying, and by the way, if you've got entrepreneurs listening, people keep saying, oh, you know, one thing I love about entrepreneurs is they don't give a shit what the world thinks. That is absolute horseshit. Mm-hmm. I know entrepreneurs that have built nothing other than empires and businesses and multiple businesses based on nothing other are one of the most significant motivators. And that is because they deeply care what other people think. They deeply care what society thinks, and they deeply care what their parents and people around them think and how they think about themselves. And that to me is one of the biggest drivers out there in the world. So we have welded our self-worth on this planet to what it is that we do. And what we do isn't who we are. What we do should be an extension, an expression of who we are. I believe that there is a possibility, and for some maybe more aggressively than others, I believe that when we take a paintbrush and we paint on a canvas, I believe the paintings that we should do, not all the time, should be an expression of who we are, as opposed to painting the picture that we think somebody wants. So do you have the courage to write the book as in your soul, or are you going to write the book that you believe is going to sell better? Which is different. It's not right or wrong. It's just a different type of person that's opened at a different level will choose to do one or the other. And I think if we have the courage to step back and pursue the biggest question of all, who am I? Who am I on this earth? Who am I? And we delve into our story. We bring our story back to reality. We bring it back to life, even if it's an ugly, painful story. And we start accepting our story. We start understanding our behaviors from the past, who have ultimately dictated who we are today. It will bring us to a place that as we look forward into the future, we will be so aware of our patterns and our behaviors and our dysfunctionality often to money. Most of the people that I start the conversation with money, by the way, they go, hang on just a minute. We're going to spend a day on this conversation around money? How to make money? Oh, great. No. What to do with my money? No. Your relationship to money. But hang on, money is just a thing. It comes and goes. They have all these great terms they've read in a book. It's an entity. It's an energy. Maybe it is. Maybe I don't care about that. I want to know how it's shaped who you are. I had two women, two entrepreneurs sit in front of me one day and go, listen, Philip, honestly, this is going to be pretty quick. I mean, because I can just tell you money just comes, goes. It's no big deal for me. 20, 25 minutes later, maybe I shared this with you before, is that the both of them are looking, one's bawling crying, the other one's just so angry. One is saddened because she now realizes through very careful questioning how money has shaped her life. And the other one is, and she's so sad, and the other one is so mad that she's allowed money to determine every major decision in her life. And she realizes as a result of that, that it also has created a lot of pain because it's given her a life that is not aligned to who she is as a person. There's an incongruency between what she does and who she is. Now, you might say, okay, well, why would you create an environment of just devastating and saddening people? So they can do something with it. So they can make a correction. They can make a change. They can turn the boat around. They can take the other path. They can stop and recreate, reimagine, rewrite the rest of their lives. So they don't spend another 20 years making decisions based on something they're not even aware of, which is their relationship to money.
Amazing. As I expected it would be. Philip, I can't thank you enough for joining us and helping us kick off the year with this conversation. So I want to ask you this question again that I asked you the last time to see if it's changed in any way at all. What do you think it is that makes somebody or something unmistakable?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. What do you think it is that makes somebody or something unmistakable?
I think, to me, our story, which is our soul, is like a fingerprint and it's so unique. And I think that if you have the courage to really understand your story at a level that you've never understood it, beyond intellect, and own your story and own who you are on this earth and own your body and own everything about you and accept everything else that goes on around who you are, the things you've done that you're not proud of, the things you've done that you're proud of, and everything in between. And you walk out the door into this world and you just become the greatest expression of who you already are and who you've always been, but you've ignored it because you don't want the world to really see you. And through doing that, you start to use your gift, not your talent. You start to, so you just, by the way, your talent could be, you could be great with numbers, or your talent could be, you know, you're great at, you know, programming, but your gift can be something different. Your gift can be around your relationships with people, your ability to open people up, your ability to stir people. And I think what makes people unmistakable is when they go out into this earth and they just become who they were always were, but just hid behind the masks to fit into society and everything else. That to me is the most unmistakable, incredible human being that you'll ever meet in this world. And hopefully the people that are listening today, sometime I hope that you meet that person in the mirror.
Well, I can't thank you enough for, you know, coming back for another conversation, which has been equally profound and poetic. This is, I think, just such a beautiful way to help us kick off the year at the Unmistakable Creative.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And for everybody listening, we'll wrap the show with that. To get access to the free download of the 10 questions that will help make this the most prosperous year of your life, visit unmistakablecreative.com/prosper. And we hope you enjoy this sneak peek at Wednesday's episode of the show, in which AJ Leon returns.
You always have a fucking choice, you know? And the most important fucking thing that I learned on that day, honestly, Srini, and this was, you know, and I don't know if this, I hope that this will be valuable for you. I don't know. To me, it was the most important lesson I learned in my life. In that day was that this life is mine, and that it is my one and only.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.
Have you ever felt a twinge of worry about AI taking over your job or diluting your creativity? Well, what if you could turn that fear into creative fuel? We've just published an amazing new ebook called The 4 Keys to Success in an AI World, and this is more than just a guide. It's a deep exploration into the human skills that AI can't touch, the skills that are essential for standing out and thriving no matter how much technology evolves. We're talking about real differentiators here like creativity, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and much more. Inside, you'll find actionable insights and strategies to develop these skills, whether you're a creative person, a business person, or just simply someone who loves personal development. This isn't a story about tech taking over. It's a story of human creativity thriving alongside AI. Picture this: AI as your creative co-pilot, not just as a tool, but a collaborator that enhances your unique human skills. The 4 Keys ebook will show you exactly how to do that and view AI in a new way that empowers you instead of overshadows you. Transform your creative potential today. Head over to unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. Use the number 4, K-E-Y-S. That's unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. And download your free copy.